Do you know what is great about listening to audiobooks?
No, tell me.
Audible.com is the one true source of audiobooks. Thousands of titles. You can get a free trial membership by going to audibletrial.com/skiffyandfante.
Is it more valuable than transit papers to Lisbon?
Just ask Morgan Fabian Hagendoshauer.
An Audible.com membership is more valuable than my pencils on the Isle of Avalon.
I still don't believe it.
Of course it is. And why do you have such a weird accent?
I am from Casablanca. What book would you recommend, Zed?
Life of Pi by Jan Martel.
Life of Liu?
I think you mean Life of Pi, as in the number. As in the number of audiobooks available at audible.com.
I hope you mean it has as many books as the number of digits following the decimal in Pi. Otherwise, that's a tiny amount of books on audible.com. Support Skiffy and Fanty with a free trial membership. And listen to some books for me, because I'm too old to hear anything.
Yay! Okay, good.
God.
Such nerds.
We are.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, yes. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate! It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 124.
What we're looking forward to in 2013.
Which is better than what we're looking to in 2014, even though that was funnier.
Because nobody has any idea what you're talking about, Jen. Good job.
It doesn't matter. We know what we're talking about.
I just want to move on. There's Paul. I'm Sean.
I'm Jen.
And you want to introduce yourself?
Oh, and I'm Stina Light, author of books. Yeah, good. That
of Blood
great.
And Honey.
And Blue Skies.
Author of Blood and Honey and Blue Skies from Pain.
Available at bookstores everywhere.
Yay!
And you should buy them both. And then buy extra copies?
Yes.
And then buy the extra copies for the extra copies.
Because the extra copies need extra copies?
Mm-hmm.
Do the extra copies read the extra copies?
Technically.
This is like just a Borgian checking. Library.
Exactly. What I'm told is if you intentionally buy the extra copies for the extra copies, the extra copies are actually slightly smaller so that they're appropriately sized for the extra copies.
Sorry, I can see the world in which...
Where we imply that you're more attractive if you buy more copies?
Oh, yeah.
That's also true.
The sexiest.
The shows care about extra copies. So you
Well, this giant pile of Stina Light books I have, I'm looking at, hasn't improved my looks any, unfortunately.
Oh, you're not supposed to say that, Paul. You're supposed to be, I am now the sexiest man alive because I have purchased every Stina Light book.
See? You just got to be like her.
I am the sexiest woman alive because
okay.
I have purchased and read Stina Light books.
I think we should just stop now.
Should we? I don't know.
We
like to push things further than they really should go. So what are we talking about again?
Things we're looking forward to in 2013.
The near distant future.
Yes. But first, of course, I think we should mention that that we have now gone over the $33,000 mark on Jay Lake's, the fundraiser done in his honor in order to get gene therapy or genome sequencing, to figure out what kind of therapies might work for his cancer. It's a very expensive procedure. And I mean, when did they start it? Yesterday? Well, the 10th, right? So when they started it, so yeah.
They started it yesterday.
Yeah, the 10th.
Which is pretty amazing. And it makes me proud to be, however, nominally on the fringes of the literary science fiction and fantasy community.
Yeah, it's a very good thing, and it's good for Jay, and it's good for science, and it's good for...
Yeah, it is.
So why don't we talk about... we're going to start with the trifecta, so we're going to start with movies, and then we'll go to television, and then we'll go to books. How does everyone feel about that?
I feel good about that.
Fine.
Okay, all right, so why don't we start with films then? So, Jen, what films are you looking forward to this coming year?
Okay, so first, sure. I'm going to admit to something that makes me a little bit sad inside.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to Stephanie Meyer's The Host.
Oh, dear.
Get off the show. Go away. Go away.
Sorry.
I think we can defend this on the grounds that an actual decent science fiction movie writer's actually done the script and is directing it. That would be Mr. Andrew Niccol.
Well, yeah. He's no longer decent. He used to be, and then he took this project.
There is that. However, I watched the preview, and I was actually genuinely impressed with the preview. And it's interesting because in terms of the book, everybody basically agrees that there are huge problems with the book itself, but conceptually it's really interesting. And so they've translated into a film that it stars Saoirse Ronan, who I love. It looks interesting. I mean, it's a kind of a cool story. It's a love story though, so you know, sappy. Okay, so yes, I'm sad to admit that, but I am looking forward to that. There's a pretty good list of movies coming out this year, so I'm just gonna kind of spit them out, and you guys can agree or disagree. World War Z, Ender's Game.
Yes.
Warm Bodies, the zombie movie.
Oh yes, absolutely.
That looks
Warm
freaking
Bodies.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Hansel and Gretel. Only because Jeremy Renner's in it and he's totally hot. Odd Thomas, because I like Dean Koontz. End of the World, which I can't remember which one that is right now, but it looked good.
It's got Peg.
Sorry. End of the World is the one that stars James Franco and Seth Rogen as themselves when the end of the world comes.
Okay. No, but there's another one coming up from Simon Pegg as well that's about
that's very
the
similar.
Well.
Yeah. So that's sorry. Cool. Epic,
like
which is a new animated film coming out next year. Gravity, Elysium,
yes.
Oblivion,
yes.
After Earth, and Pacific Rim.
No. Sorry,
no,
I didn't go quick enough.
One?
Yes, no.
No to Oblivion, no to After Earth, and no to Pacific Rim for you.
Well, you know why I don't want to go watch After Earth, Jen?
Why?
You should not want to even bother seeing that, because...
I know, it's an M. Night Shyamalan and
Ding Dong. It's an M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movie, which means it's going to suck.
It's going to suck.
No matter how good the trailer
really?
Looks, no matter the fact that the cast is really good, it is going to suck.
Are you really that anti... Wow.
Well,
I am after Signs. After Signs, he falls apart real quick. And because we watched Happening, which the more I think about that movie, the more I want to cut myself.
Yeah, The Happening
was
good.
And he made The Last Airbender. And what pissed me off about The Last Airbender was that there were actually 5 minutes that movie when it was good.
Yeah.
But they were at the end, so they were a reminder of all the garbage you had to sit through to get to that. And it was a reminder of how good that movie could have been.
Yeah.
And that's an M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movie. And I can't. I will never spend money on that man again. I've been burned too many times.
I really liked his early stuff quite a bit.
His early stuff was great, yeah.
I love everything actually previous to Lady in the Water and everything before it.
Right. Yeah. Signs, The Village, Unbreakable.
Unbreakable, I think, is one of the most underrated science fiction films of all time, personally. So
I absolutely agree with you. I really liked Unbreakable. I really did.
It's brilliant. It's
awesome.
So simply brilliant. So I keep hoping
that he'll come back.
He'll come back. And I'm willing, you know what, for Sixth Sense, for Unbreakable, for Signs, and I actually even like The Village. And I loved Lady in the Water as a fairy tale. I thought it was really cute and sweet.
Yeah.
So I will forgive him a lot, to be honest. I will even forgive him The Last Airbender.
No, that's
barely.
Look,
but
it's in the Geneva Convention. He violated the law and committed a crime against humanity. That's an unforgivable offense. He needs to be charged.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was pissed. I was so mad because that should have been a good movie. Oh, also, it was a racist movie. So.
Yeah, it was one of the most racist movies of all time.
All the good people are white flower people who are supposedly Eskimos.
Yeah,
all the bell people are brown.
He was trying to like be ironic or something. I don't know. I just couldn't.
No, he's not.
That movie failed on a lot of levels.
Every level.
Yeah, and you know, like After Earth is basically just a Jaden Smith sort of vehicle. Will Smith is only in it for like 5 minutes, but I think it's kind of nifty that people, you know, thousands of years later, people have come back to Earth. And
it's a dangerous place.
To see what has happened. And, you know, I like
a good concept.
Oh, yeah. I have seen
that.
Yes.
Leave it.
As well.
Yes, that looks kind of cool.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, but I'm going to move on because I hate your soul. Yeah.
Okay, what's yours?
Well, we're going to go to Stina.
Oh, don't make me go.
Paul.
Okay.
Movies.
Okay, so some of the additional movies I'd like to see, including some of Jen's, is Oz the Great and the Powerful.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming out in March.
I'm iffy about that one, but
okay. I'm willing to give it a shot. Iron Man 3, because, it's Robert Downey Jr. And
it's got the Mandarin, who's played by Ben Kingsley.
Yes.
I know, right? Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm hopeful Star Trek Into Darkness won't suck. I'll go see it.
I'm also looking forward to that. God, I forgot about that one.
Monsters University.
Yes!
Yay!
If we finally get back to the Monsters Universe, that would be cool. Let's see what else. Supposedly I heard there's gonna be another Percy Jackson movie this year. Would be neat.
Yeah,
because I like that. I'm always down with the Greek mythology.
My kids loved the book series.
I don't think Riddick's going to do well, so I think I'm just going to not count that. But I thought I'd touch on it. And there's going to be a Thor movie this coming winter, and of course the next Hobbit movie.
And the next Hobbit. But there's too many movies.
I know. There's a lot.
Of course there are.
So those are what you've added to the list.
That's what I've added to the list.
God, okay, so
I think I'm probably forgetting something.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of movies that definitely are coming out, and there are a lot of ones that look, at the very least, good, and then a few that I think are stand out.
Yeah.
But we mentioned some that, like, for sure, like Elysium is the next Neil Blomkamp film.
That's super exciting.
And it's got Matt Damon, who is possibly the sexiest man ever to act, so I will see anything. He could just sit there and sit in a chair and take a nap. I would watch that.
Ender's Game, I think everybody is pretty much excited about.
Yeah,
because
it's also got Asa Butterfield.
And it's got Asa Butterfield, so that's exciting.
So the acting is good. Yeah, it's going to be good. Gravity by Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah.
The Children of Men, it's going to it probably won't make a lot of money, but it's going to supposedly the rumor has it that Sandra Bullock's performance in it is the best of her career. That's what the early tests are suggesting.
And that's exciting.
Yeah. And for those that don't know anything about it, the basic premise is two astronauts at some relatively near future point get stranded in space when their shuttle explodes and they have to figure out how to get home. So
why aren't you looking forward? I have to ask, why aren't you looking forward to Pacific Rim?
I
just think it's going to be another Michael Bay type film. Lots and lots of flashy.
How could it possibly be a Michael Bay type film when it's directed by Guillermo del Toro, who has made the best fantasy movie in the past decade?
Oh, yes, I could totally agree with you.
What do you mean? What best fantasy movie?
Pan's Labyrinth? Where
Pan's Labyrinth.
I've never seen
Hands down, the best fantasy film. So, be honest, it's probably the best fantasy made in the last 20 years. Or 30. It's probably the best fantasy film made ever. It's the highest quality, for sure.
I'm going to stick
Sean?
With... What?
You haven't seen Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah, no, I own it in the Spanish. I don't like subtitles, so I have to be in the mood for it.
Sorry.
And I refuse to see it with dub. I refuse to see the dub.
No, you have to watch it. Oh yeah, you have to watch it subtitled. It is stunning.
Okay, I'll watch it. Okay, fine.
I'm sorry when I say past 30 years or ever. What other fantasy film would match Pan's Labyrinth? In terms of sheer quality.
Sheer quality? Lord of the Rings?
No.
Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus?
No.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Those are good.
The Fountain?
They're good. Nope.
I did totally. Well, look, you already know I have no respect for your opinion.
You Jen, haven't seen Pan's Labyrinth, though.
So, you actually liked one of the Twilight movies.
I'm talking to Cena and Paul. What do you think could match Pan's Labyrinth in terms of sheer quality of a fantasy film?
And not be a case of nostalgia, because Labyrinth would be a bit of nostalgia.
Exactly.
Princess Bride might be a bit of nostalgia as well.
I disagree on that because I still think Princess Bride is, but it's a different kind of movie. So it's
a totally different kind of movie.
It's different.
Yeah.
I'd have to think long and hard about something. Pan's Labyrinth is definitely in my top five.
Yeah.
At the outside.
And I'm not saying it's my favorite fantasy film. I honestly think it is the highest quality.
There are parts in that movie that are dark as hell.
It's very dark.
Yeah.
That is not a film that you
show your kids. No. No.
Although it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, can I continue now?
No, you can't. Sorry, go ahead.
I hate your soul.
I know
who's up next
but
for movies?
But Cena hasn't gone
I haven't
yet.
Even finished. You I'm stopped me and started
and
talking
he's not
about.
Finished.
Yeah, you just I'll started babbling about your other movies that didn't even come out this year. Jerk. So we mentioned Iron Man 3. I'm looking forward to that. Monsters University, because Billy Crystal and John Goodman, I think, are wonderful together.
Yep.
There's also a really cool film called Upside Down coming out with Kirsten Dunst and Jim Sturgess.
Kirsten Dunst has been doing some interesting work recently.
Yeah. Melancholia. So it's another one of those, seems almost like an indie type film. Yep. It's already been released like in half the world. So yeah, that's good. I also have some guilty pleasure stuff, like The Last Stand with Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is his first major film.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm gonna see it. I don't care. Yeah. I really do. It's got Ji-Woon
Kim. Is
that
a science fiction or fantasy?
It's not really, but that's okay.
No, so you can't mention it on
I
this
can
podcast.
Mention it. Shut up.
No,
shut
you can't.
Face. Shut your face. Your face is ugly. Jerk.
Next.
Another one of my guilty pleasures, A Good Day to Die Hard, which is not science fiction.
But it is awesome. So.
Although technically it's sort of like an alternate history now, since it's all part of the same universe, and the last movie involved people hacking the entire U.S. and like shutting it down. So whatever. Yeah. And Riddick, which I'm going to see because I still think The Chronicles of Riddick is one of the most underrated science fiction films from the last decade.
Yes, yeah.
I think that film is
absolutely
friggin'
agree.
Awesome. It's fun and it's.
I loved Pitch Black. I
but
love
not Chronicles.
Yeah. Pitch Black is brilliantly understated.
Oh my god, I love Pitch Black. I didn't so much like Chronicles. It was a nice. You could turn the sound off, and it's a lovely goth film.
I love that film so much.
I agree.
So much fun.
I like Judi Dench.
This thing called story.
I know, right? She played an elemental. That was so cool.
It doesn't lack story.
It had a story. He's a Furian, and there's like creepy undead dudes.
Ugh,
it was all kind of weird. And then, of course, Star Trek Into Darkness. I'm mostly just seeing that because Benedict Cumberbatch is playing whoever the villain is, and otherwise I wouldn't see it. Because
you're not allowed to see it.
I hated the last one so much.
You're not allowed to see it.
And I
hated
the first
one.
Hated it?
I liked the first 20 minutes. I hated everything from Future Spock on.
Okay.
So, exactly. I mean, like, he sits here and disses my taste in movies, and then he hates the first Star Trek, which I've watched 5 times and completely am absorbed in it, like, caught up in the ride every single time I watch it.
Except Future Spock.
I
hate Future Spock.
My ass off.
Future Spock is fantastic.
Hate it.
I was 5 years old, like all over again, back when I first started seeing, when I first became a Trekkie, and I asked my babysitter to draw the Enterprise all over for the wall, so I could tack it on my wall. My mom was so pissed. But, I mean, it was awesome. I mean, it did all the fan service. It was it was well put together. Granted, it had holes in it that you could drive a truck through. But most Star Trek plots, when you look at them, are that way. So, I adored that film so much.
No, I think it was a perfect, it was a good nod to the original films, and it was a perfect reimagining. So,
except for the glaring plot holes right in the middle of the movie.
Get over
and,
it.
And the red matter?
The red matter makes no sense. It is completely illogical.
I understand what you were saying.
Welcome to Star Trek.
No.
Had a lot of those sorts of plots that had giant holes in them. It was
Star Trek. I just expect better.
Well,
sorry. What?
I didn't go to see Star Trek to see a Michael Bay film.
You don't even like what's his name, the director. So like,
no,
you
I
don't
hate J.J.
Like
Abrams almost as much as I hate Hitler. So.
He hates J.J. Abrams. That's the only reason he actually hates the movie.
Not. It's because the movie was shit.
It is. No, it wasn't.
The first 20 minutes were really good.
You have something against J.J. Abrams.
I do have something against J.J. Abrams, but
and
I went
so therefore you're never going to like anything that he does.
False.
I love it. It makes me cry.
It's completely
I love it.
False.
No, it's not.
You're
it's
a
true.
Liar. You're a liar.
It's true. And I even like Cloverfield because it's hilarious.
Cloverfield.
And terrible.
Shit. It was an awful movie.
I don't
but hilarious.
I didn't like Cloverfield. I didn't.
Nope. It was such a bad movie. That's a good one for Twitter Cinema.
I'm just so sick to death of the Monkey Cam film. It's
oh, I know.
I just hate the guy, Chugs or Chud or whatever the hell his name
is. He was the best part of the movie.
Oh,
I hated everybody in that film. They wanted them to die.
I'm glad they all died, though, because they're idiots and they deserve death.
Spoiler alert.
It's a crap movie.
It was like the Blair Witch Project. I was like 5 minutes in going, okay, can you just kill all these characters now so I can go home?
I'm glad they pretty much completely moved away from those types of films. For the most part, I hope.
Okay.
All right.
So,
Stina, your list.
I actually have a list now. The main problem I have is that I haven't been able to see films in the theater for several years. So I purposely, because I love watching movies so much, I purposely didn't look at the trailers because I didn't want to know what I was missing for a very long time. So I'm out of date on a lot of things, but I just scrolled through a couple of different lists, and things that look good to me are, you know, like you said, the next part of The Hobbit. I'm looking forward to that. After Earth looks interesting. Star Trek 2. The next Star Trek kicks ass. Warm Bodies, I'm so excited about. It's-
I am too. I hadn't even seen, like, the preview for it. I had never heard of it until, The Hobbit? Was it in front of? What movie? I can't remember.
Somebody, I want to say Nick Mamatas sent me a link to it because I said that I really hated zombie stories and that they all sucked.
Oh, you haven't read the right zombie stories.
Yeah, and that's what he said. Here, check out. I was like, okay, I will check out Warm Bodies. And it addresses all of my complaints about zombie films, like straight up. So I really, really... really like that concept. I'm very excited about it.
And the guy who plays Beast is in it.
Oh, nice.
And he's adorable.
And I can't help
that. I shouldn't say that because he's like 15.
Gatsby. I can't speak.
Oh, The Great Gatsby? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of excited about that. Just
that's kind of like an up and down sort of people have been worried about it, but excited about it. And it's been kind of a buzz movie.
Interesting. Just visual aspect. And speaking of films for which one has, you know, a soft spot and, you know, Mad Max. Okay, now.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yes.
I just have to. Mm-hmm.
Now, other films that look a little interesting that I know nothing about as of yet, are they're making apparently a film of the Forever War.
That's not coming out this year, though, is it?
Yes, 2013. That's what it said.
Really?
Yeah. And then there's also Mortal Instruments.
Yeah.
Which one's Mortal Instruments?
It's one of those YA things.
Oh.
Cassandra Clare, isn't it?
Yeah. Now I have to go look it up.
That's her stuff.
Oh, yes. Okay. I might see that. I could see seeing that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I like YA stuff. I'm a sucker for it. Oh, that's the other thing that I think is coming out this year. The new, the other YA.
Hunger Games?
Hunger Games. The second one, I think, is supposed to come out this year. I really enjoyed the first one. So, and I loved the series of books. And my kids are excited about it, too. So that's another movie that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I believe it had some problems.
It had some problems, yeah.
Sure, it wasn't perfect.
No. It was the most depressing ending of a series that I've read in a while, so that was interesting.
I haven't read the other two books. I've only read the first.
They're worth reading, but it's depressing.
That's all right. I'm okay with it.
Okay, yeah. Let's switch to television then. And we're going to start with Paul, because he hasn't said anything in a while, so I want to make sure he's alive.
I am alive. I don't watch a lot of television because I don't own a television.
Communist.
I just haven't bothered. Don't want to pay for the cable. A lot of the television I get to watch is when I visit people, like my friend Z Olson's in Iowa. So, but the only television I'm looking forward to is the one series I make them watch, and I've converted their daughter into watching, and that would be Doctor Who. Yes, the last season's been very uneven. And I'm not sure Moffat's really got a strong hand on the tiller anymore. However, I am hopeful that a new companion will help correct some of the drifting that Doctor Who has undergone over the last set of episodes. And she was really interesting in the Christmas special, and one of the few episodes I thought worked last half of the season was the one where she was on the Dalek planet. So we'll see. They seem to have a good chemistry, so we'll see how that goes. So that's about it. That's the sum total of television, I guess.
Okay,
well, next. That's a good choice.
Yeah.
Although I'm looking forward to last season coming out on Netflix. So I'm a complete season behind.
That's because
that
she follows the rules.
Until this season ends, it won't come out on the last season won't come out on Netflix. So it's like it's really painful. I cannot like read anything or listen to anything or talk
to anyone.
Yeah, it sucks.
I spoiled a bit for you, sorry.
No, I'm totally ignoring you. I didn't hear anything you said.
That's a fairly normal thing, Paul.
I'm not.
She doesn't pay attention to men at all.
I try to shut off anything that's Doctor Who related, you know.
I thought she was saying no one pays attention to me.
No, it's just a man thing. She blocks out half of what any man says.
That's true.
Here's the part where everybody hates me. I don't really like Doctor Who.
Communist.
God forbid. I didn't like it either until I sat down and watched every single season.
I see. I get bored. I'm sorry.
Oh, I hate
it
so
much. The best part was getting my kids to like it. That was the fun part.
I do agree with you, Paul, though, that the last season has... Well, since Moffat took over, there have been lots of issues. So, but we'll leave it at that since we don't want to spoil anything for
Jeff. When did he take over?
The season before this one. Or was it the season before that? Season 5, right?
Yeah.
The River Song season?
No, River Song season was season 6. Where everything's revealed about River Song? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's season
that's,
6.
That's,
he took over the last Tenet, didn't he? Yeah, it was the last Tenet season that he took over.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But was he fully taken over, or what, did he just...
Yeah,
did they just hand the mantle?
He fully took over at that point.
Yeah, he's been with, what's his name, the whole time?
Russell T. Davies. Yeah.
Mm.
And then,
I did a new actor with Torchwood for a little while, and that,
oh,
that
I loved,
was...
I loved Torchwood.
But okay, anyway, we're gonna stay on track. So, Paul, so that's the only show, right, for you?
That's the only one.
All right, Stina, what are you looking forward to any shows?
Yeah, television shows I don't tend to keep up with very much, but and most of the shows that I watch aren't what you call science fiction oriented, because I'm deeply into The Newsroom and West Wing and Castle and Bones and Downton Abbey. I love all those.
Castle counts as geeky.
It counts as geeky, so you can include it.
Which one?
Castle.
Castle is geeky, so it counts. Yay! Yep. I love Castle so much.
Same with like The Big Bang Theory. Any of those where it may not explicitly be genre itself, it still counts because of its meta nature. So,
got it. Okay, well then Castle counts, hooray. And I have to say, I had a good giggle fit when he walks down. My husband got me the first series, the first season, and I had a good giggle fit when I saw him walk down the hallway and all of his book covers are on the walls, and I look over my wall and there's my book cover. Anyway,
that's awesome.
I'm a giant geek. So yes, Downton Abbey was I finally got the first two episodes of season three the other day, and
I'm so jealous. See, it's the first season's on Netflix, and I loved it. It's brilliant.
Is on too, isn't it?
I have not seen it yet unless they just updated it, because the third season's coming out, because they always wait until the end of the start of the new season or the end of the last season or something. So I hadn't seen it yet.
Okay. What other stuff are you looking forward to?
Game of Thrones. I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. Game of Thrones, third season.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be sexy.
It's going to be. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know what? Actually, I have to disagree. I didn't even watch all of last season.
That's because you suck.
Really?
I just lost interest. The books are better.
I can understand.
It was really that it diverged so much from the books.
It didn't?
So quickly. Oh, yeah, it did.
It
was doing things that were, it was leaving out details that were important enough that they should have been kept in for the later books.
Right, but they may be including the
groundwork.
What we've
for
seen
later.
With the, yeah, but they may be including those details later.
There
are a lot of things they included from the third book in the second season. The second book in the first season, and vice versa. They're moving things around in order to make it work as a coherent piece of television.
Except that every single time that I've seen them move something around, it has been for a completely pointless reason.
False.
No.
False.
The whole thing with when John and his woman in the north, that was terrible. Like, that whole entire section was just straight up awful.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yes, disagree. It was.
Completely disagree.
Well, it definitely has its problems.
At that point.
Yeah, it definitely has its problems. I there are things that are done in that series that I really just don't agree with. For example, that whole thing where Littlefinger does a whole "as you know, Bob" routine.
Yes, I hated that.
While the two hookers make out in the background, I was just like, I can't.
Yeah, that.
I see that like bothers me not at all, because it's on what's it called, and I just was like, whatever.
I understand it's HBO, but no.
My problem with the nudity in the show is a lot of the times it has no real purpose. It doesn't serve.
No, it doesn't
advance the story. It's just boobies
there.
And ass and yeah. And penis. Sometimes there's penis.
Well, I'm happy that there's penis, because hey, if there should be more penis.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
That was another thing that I really hated. It was the Littlefinger and cutting out. They cut out a character that I didn't appreciate them cutting out.
Which one?
And I haven't liked the Littlefinger. They merged Littlefinger with a different character from the book, and that's been pissing me off.
Okay.
So,
all right, we got to.
Anyway,
do you have any more, Stina?
No, that's it.
Okay, Jen, quick, what do you got?
Once Upon a Time, second half of their season, because I'm enjoying it.
I'm with you.
I know it's so sappy, but it's been cute, and I like the acting in it. Good people. Fringe is actually my biggest one right now. Fringe, I loved that series. And this is their last little bit, and it makes me sad, because I've already lost Eureka, and now I'm losing Fringe, and that makes me want to just kill everybody. Doctor Who, obviously, but like I said, I'm looking forward to last season.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking forward to Blood and Chrome.
That's already out.
Because is it already out?
Yeah. It was an online series that's done.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Well, then I'm behind. There you go.
Yeah.
I need to go watch that. Defiance a little bit.
Yeah, that's the new original show from sci-fi, which will make
the
Fallen Skies look like crap, which the world already looks like crap.
So. Even if they're actually going to do a quality show?
It seems so. They're doing it in conjunction with a company called Tryon Worlds, who are making an MMO that runs alongside the show.
Yeah, so it should be interesting. Sherlock.
Obviously.
Actually, yes. Sherlock's my second highest on my list, Fringe being my first highest, even though it's ending. Sherlock's my second.
Have you watched Make a Confession? Elementary? Yeah, you can.
I've not seen a full episode of Sherlock yet. Mainly because, well, I don't have a television, and I only now have rented the DVDs on Netflix. They're actually looking at the DVD. Little envelopes right next to me. So I've not yet watched any Sherlock. And I've seen bits and pieces, you know, clips and people talking about it. So I know it's brilliant, but no, I haven't seen a full episode yet.
Get started, pal. Get started.
I might watch some this weekend.
No, you don't have time. You have to read for our interview.
I can dog paddle that along.
Exactly.
The first season is just so brilliant. So brilliant.
The second season is still really good. There are certain flaws, but yeah.
Yeah, I really love how they mapped certain details of Sherlock trivia onto the modern world. And
yes.
I really love what they did with Dr. Watson.
Yes. Oh my God, he's so good.
Oh, and that whole, my favorite scene, I think, out of that whole first season is when he and Sherlock are talking about, Sherlock is talking to him about, I think it's the lady in pink, right? Where they're talking about, he's what goes through a person's mind before, you know, they die or whatever. And it just goes right past you, really smooth. And I had to, like, go stop everything and then go back and go, oh, my God, that's so cool. Sherlock is like, wow, and just tossing off this question without expecting an answer, you know. What goes through your mind just before you die? And Dr. Watson immediately replies, oh, God, please don't let me die.
Yes, and in such a deadpan voice. It was so good.
Because
the only reason, honestly, that I was as excited as I was about The Hobbit was because I hadn't watched what is his name, everybody?
Martin Freeman.
I had not watched him in anything else. Uh-huh. So all I had seen him in was Sherlock, and he is so good.
He's perfect.
So good. Mm-hmm. And it's been really hard for me to watch Elementary, even though I'm actually slightly obsessed with it, because
it's so bad at taste.
It's so bad.
Okay.
But
yeah, I mean, the reason that was such a great line, and it was delivered so perfectly, Paul, because Dr. Watson is an ex-soldier.
Yeah.
And he's
I've seen a clip, where Sherlock says Afghanistan or Iraq.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that dovetails to the original story. So
yeah, and he's actually dealing with PTSD. So when he says it, I mean, it's like it's
he's there. He's
it
there.
Was beautiful. It was beautiful.
It was perfect. Yeah. It was.
So everybody.
Anyway, so everyone should see that. So, that. Right, yeah. And that's it, Jen.
Warehouse 13, a little bit, only because I'm a dork.
Well, we knew that.
Yeah.
Don't cool. Like so okay. So we mentioned Sherlock, Game of Thrones, Defiance, Doctor Who.
Did I say S.H.I.E.L.D.?
S.H.I.E.L.D. is running still?
No,
not that S.H.I.E.L.D.
Josh Whedon is doing S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, well, whatever. No, you didn't mention that, but now it's mentioned. So anyway, so I'll add a couple. Kevin Bacon has a new show called The Following, which is basically like a police procedural, except the villain is in prison and is somehow communicating with his serial killer fans who are committing all these murders, and they're trying to stop them, which just sounds cool.
I have mixed feelings about that.
It's Kevin Bacon. I don't care.
Mm.
He was in Tremors. Tremors was wonderful.
Mm. All right.
Don't take this away from me.
I'm not.
I need something to make my life go.
I refuse to take it away from you. It's okay. Carry on.
And then there's The Americans, which, since I call everybody communist all the time, it seems very fitting that I would want to watch a show about Soviet spies embedded in America involving Kerry Russell. It's something that I'm going to watch and hope that it's good, but as soon as it turns out to be shit, I'm going to move on. Then BBC's got a new one called Ripper Street, which has got the guy that plays Bronn in it, which is another murder mystery type show, but it's set immediately after the events of the Ripper killings, and it sort of seems to be about this sort of police unit essentially trying to get back its respectability after not being able to stop it. So then
I'll take anything that's a detective story set in Victorian.
Yeah, it'll be really cool.
Really, I'm in.
Yep. And then BBC America has its new science fiction original called Orphan Black, in which a woman takes an identity of somebody either she kills or who dies mysteriously. I can't remember which. And it turns out that she looks exactly like this person, and there are other people that look exactly like her, and it's something to do with clones. And yeah, that looks really interesting. And then there are two Netflix shows. One is an original and one is not. There's Hemlock Grove, which has got Famke Janssen. Is that how you say your name?
Oh, yeah. Famke Janssen.
Yep.
Oh, Famke.
Yeah.
Yep. And Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah, another Skarsgård. I'm so excited. Because the other ones are... Right? Yep.
And it's basically like an urban fantasy crime thriller, which is going to be really awesome. And it's called Hemlock Grove. It will be on Netflix. Yeah. It's a Netflix original.
It's a supernatural. It's about
it's an werewolf? Urban fantasy crime thriller. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's like one of them is a werewolf or something. I don't remember how it works.
Something like that. And then possibly the most important thing that has ever happened in comedy television in the last 60 years.
Yeah.
Arrested Development is having its fourth and final season through Netflix.
Yep.
Most important event in comedy television.
It is pretty spiffy.
Yep. Okay. So even more important than Johnny Carson retiring.
Not very spiffy, but very spiffy.
Yes.
It's geeky-ish.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay, actually it is. It is one of the geekiest shows for people to like ever.
It is. So, yeah, but that's my television list. Lots of good stuff coming out. We'll see how much of it I have time to watch. So, all right. So let's get to the big boys, and then we can move on and go to our respective ways and become what we were meant to be in our free time. Books. What is it that everybody's looking forward to?
Somebody else can go first.
First. Go, Paul. Go.
Okay, this is a sampling of the books that I know about coming out this year that have interest me. Starting from the top, the new Peter F. Hamilton, Great North Road. Mm-hmm. I know our friends in Britain are already read it. I'm a fan of his space opera. This is more of a Attack of the Clones sort of thing, and involving clone families and mystery. And I like Hamilton's work, although he does sometimes write a little long, so I'm looking forward to that.
I got to pause you really quick. Please rephrase the sentence in which you say it is like an Attack of the Clones type thing. Please use another analogy.
It's a novel with clones in it.
Okay, thank you. All right, we can move on now.
Okay, next up, keeping in space, I don't know. Anybody who hasn't read Redemption and Indigo should. And, well, Karen Lord is doing space opera with Best of All Possible Worlds. That's coming out in a month or two.
What one?
Best of All Possible Worlds.
And she will be on this show.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's
basically confirmed at this point.
Excellent.
Cool. Yeah.
Paul Cornell, who we talked about earlier in conjunction with the J. Lake fundraiser, has his urban fantasy coming out. Looking forward to that.
I've heard it's really good.
Old London Falling, yep. Yeah. Another urban fantasy set in London at the same time by John Lamb said called Wolf and Shadows also coming out. So apparently it's a theme this year, urban fantasy in London. Mr. Daniel Abraham, with and without Ty Frank, has books in his series coming out, Tyrant's Law, which is the third book in his Dagger in the Coin series, and Abaddon's Gate, which is the third Expanse novel. So space opera and fantasy. So can't lose with that. Neil Gaiman, of course, has a little book coming out this year, I hear.
The Ocean at the End of the Lane.
Yep.
Something like that. Yeah.
Charlie Strauss has a space opera coming out, Neptune's Brood. Gwenda Bond has a alternate U.S. with Gods novel coming out called The Woken Gods. That looks really interesting. And finally, Madeline Ashby. One of my favorite novels last year was The End, or the sequel to that, ID, is coming out this year. I'm definitely on board with that.
And so that's my list.
That's your list? Yeah, it's a pretty good list. Sounds very interesting. You got a good range.
Yeah.
So, awesome. So, all right, who wants to go next?
Stina.
Oh, man. Here's the deal. I have a to-be-read list the size of the Matterhorn. So I kind of told myself I wouldn't buy any more books this year until I started plowing through that. Because I am so far behind, it's ridiculous.
Art. That's hilarious. That was a totally defensible position, though.
It is a defensible
position. I don't blame
you. However,
seriously, they are taking over the bedroom. I have books that I haven't read yet that have been stacked in Dane's man cubby.
Nice.
I have books that are double stacked in a bookshelf in my bedroom, and I have books on the floor in the bedroom that I have to step over in order to get into the bed. This is ridiculous. I have got to stop buying books for just a little while and make my way through some books. It's ridiculous. So I can't, unless it's written by several people that I love to read, but I have to be careful.
Let's ask this then. Just name a couple books that you know for sure you're going to try to read this year that you're looking forward to read.
I'd have to go look at my bookshelf.
What? First. Why didn't you do this before we started recording? What? Are you a professional?
Come on. Okay, but in Stina's defense, I don't even have a list of books. I have one book. Mostly because I don't actually pay enough attention to what books are coming out in the next year. However, I am excited about every author that we have ever interviewed, their books coming out, the ones that have books coming out, because I just love our authors because they're great people.
And some of them are returning this year.
So that's always exciting. So I'm looking forward to those. I'm looking forward to it, you know, the things that we get to read on the show, because those are about the only books I actually get these days.
Finishing the book that I'm working on.
Yes, that's exciting. That's very important.
That's good. That's
extremely
good.
Yeah.
And then I am actually kind of looking forward to the new J.R.R. Tolkien.
Oh, okay.
What? There's a new one?
Yep.
By new, we mean they're releasing something that was written
6 years ago,
and that the estate has put together into a book and sold to make millions.
His son has put together. It wasn't finished. It's an epic fantasy. It's an epic poem, actually, that he wrote and was not able to complete. But his son has published it, and not finished it, just published it. So I'm okay with that. And
not very well known fact, I own all 13 volumes of all of Tolkien's notes that were published, and I don't have the two most recent.
Wow,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So awesome. Is it really interesting? Have you read them, or do you just own them?
I have read the first three, but I have not read the rest of them.
I bet that's a really fascinating glimpse into his mind.
It especially is for a writer.
Yeah. Yes. That's very cool.
Cool.
I might have to pick those up at some point in my life.
You might have to.
You might have a hard time. I had to really search for the last few.
Oh, interesting. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
If you go to Powell City of Books, they probably have them.
Yeah, but she lives in San Antonio.
She can order them online, Powell's.com.
I don't live I don't live in San Antonio. I live in Austin.
It's not that's San Antonio or Austin. It's in Portland. But they have a website and you can order and they'll deliver. And I think they do that all $25. So you should totally do that.
How much of this podcast are we going to do whispering?
I think we should just do the rest of it while whispering.
But it might hurt my throat.
Okay, yes. My list. Yes. I'm guessing you're done, right, Jen?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. I do have The Best of All Possible Worlds on there. Looking forward to that. She'll maybe at ICFA this year, so I'll get to meet her again and be intimidated by her and her red coat. She's got like this red leather coat that just looks like makes her look badass. Woo-hoo! So, yeah, slightly intimidating. Also, The Shining Girls by Lauren Bucus is her latest novel.
Oh,
the one set in Chicago, right?
Yep. Which went on to a bidding war with some of the major publishers, and rumor has it got her a 6-figure deal, which is awesome. And she will be on this show.
Woo!
So, yay. That's basically been confirmed. So we don't have an exact date, but we do know if it's going to happen. So that's awesome. Chris Moriarty has her next book, I think in the same series as Spin State. It's called Ghost Spin. It's sort of a post-cyberpunk thing. That's going to be really awesome. I can't wait for that. Nalo Hopkinson has a new one coming out called Sister Mine.
She's pretty much great. Anything by her is good. So.
Yep. Hopefully we can get her on the show.
That would be very spiffy.
Really, really trying, but she's a busy lady. But I'm looking forward to that. Michael Flynn has a new one coming out in his... oh, gosh, I forget the name of the series. It's the one with the names and the assassins in space. It's awesome. But On the Razor's Edge by Michael Flynn, that's the next one in the series. That's coming out. I can't wait. And then Vampires in the Lemon Grove by Karen Russell. It's the same lady who did Swaplandia. This is her collection of stories, which sounds really sort of very weird kind of fiction and cool stuff. Looking forward to that. And then The Childhood of Jesus by J.M. Coetzee, which is not going to be known as genre, but likely will include some weird stuff in it. Everyone knows who this guy is, right?
Vaguely.
Okay, no, you know he won a Nobel Prize in Literature and won the Man Booker twice?
Yes.
He's a
South African writer. He's possibly one of the greatest writers in all of human history.
Yeah, we suck as human beings, sorry.
You should read some of his books. Some of this stuff is actually...
But Stina has a giant pile, remember?
It's true.
The Matterhorn that's in her house. I am not allowed to spend hundreds of dollars of books anymore. So...
Ooh.
Well...
Yeah.
But for those for those listening, if you've never read a Coetzee book, give some... I believe The Secret Life of Michael Kay is his most genre-ish book. Although Waiting for the Barbarians is almost a kind of weird... like alternate history. It's not set in a place that actually exists, although it's modeled at places that do exist, if that makes
interesting
sense.
Paolo Bacigalupi, his new book.
Oh, has he got one coming out? Cool.
Yeah, Water something. It's about a water war between Phoenix and might be San Antonio. Maybe that's why I was thinking San Antonio.
Get prepared for the war.
Right on.
Yeah. Yep.
And can I pimp a book?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. So I lied. I have actually gotten to read part of Charlie Strauss's The Rhesus Chart. I cannot wait. It's going to be so awesome.
Oh, the Vampire Laundry novel.
Oh, cool.
I adore his laundry series, and oh my god, that is so...
I completely forgot that's coming out this year. That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm done.
Okay, so I only got a couple more left. Americana by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, whose name I probably totally said wrong. Not genre, but is really, really going to be awesome. And then two more genre ones, which is Biopunk Stories from the Far Side of Research, edited by Rob Page. It includes a story by Jane Rogers, who we've interviewed. And it's basically a collaboration. There's going to be work by actual scientists working in various biotechnology fields like nanotech, etc. And then actual writers applying some of that research to stories. And then the last one will be Simon Morden's The Curve of the Earth, which is the continuation of the Samuel Petrovich series, which is sort of like post-apocalyptic, sort of cyberpunk-y.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
He wrote three other books that precede it, the titles of which have totally blanked on me. But
And I'm also looking forward to The Last Charlene Harris, because I'm a nerd.
Oh, of course you are. So that's it. That's everything I was looking forward to. So
is there anything extra special coming out happening in 2013 that nobody knows about that's very skippy or very fancy? Unicorns are coming back. Ooh. So everybody should know that.
Well, in that case, I may actually finally get to have a pony.
Exactly. They will discover the last dragon egg. Yep. Aliens will invade Georgia.
Nice. Not
why Georgia, but, you know. Anything else? Am I missing anything? Is it just, you know, rumors?
I hear California's going to secede from the Union.
Oh, well, that's duh. It's the going top of our list.
It's actually going to be California-topia. So.
Nice try with that.
Well,
Texan.
Well,
God, right. Texas wants to break off, and so does California.
That's well, okay. But Austin will stay with the Union.
Oh, that's good.
I kind of like West Berlin.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess that reference just went over everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right.
Anywho, so that about does it. So, this is it. So this is the end of the
we're
first
doing
episode
in 2013.
Of the year.
Do you want to give people a highlight of what we will be doing actually on the podcast in 2013, really quickly?
On the podcast in 2013,
at least some of it.
For sure, we'll be doing more and more torture cinema.
Yes. What is our next author?
This month is really heavy. So this weekend, Paul and I are interviewing Gareth Powell for Akak Macaque.
Exciting.
At some point next week, I'm interviewing Christopher Barzak for his short story collection, Birds and something. The titles blank me. And then we are interviewing Mike Cole for his latest book.
Yay! And I get to be there on that one.
Yep. And at some point, we're going to have near the full name is now totally just escaped me. So you'll have to excuse me. I've completely drawn up.
Near Yaniv?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. At some point this month, we're also going to interview him for his collection. And that's this month.
And that's just January.
That's just January. We haven't filled up the schedule for the rest of at least the first half of the year, although we know that Lauren Bucus is confirmed. We will have Adam Christopher, Nick Mamatas, Karen Lord, Yoon Ha Lee may be on. Rhiannon Held will be on in some capacity. Linda Nagata.
I love Linda's work.
Yeah. And Marie Brennan, is it Marie?
Marie Brennan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is either going to be there for an interview or for a discussion episode. We haven't obviously figured that out yet.
And then were we getting Peter back on?
And Peter's book officially is not coming out this year.
Oh, it's not coming out. It's coming out next year.
But he will show up on the show.
Oh, no wonder. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So unfortunately, his book is not this year. So, but if people are listening to this and you've got a book coming out within from February until the middle of the year or towards the end of the year and you are interested in being interviewed, you could always email us at skiffyandfanty@gmail.com because that's nice.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
But essentially,
it's going to be a good year.
Yeah, we haven't firmed up everything. Lists are going to go out to people, so yeah.
And Stina's going to kind of complete 20 books.
Where can people find you on the internet, Stina?
What?
Where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I can be found on the internet at cslight.com. And you spell my last name LEICHT.
And are you on Twitter?
I am, in fact, on Twitter. Thank you, Paul. You're fabulous. I'm on Twitter as Stina Light. LEICHT.
Yep. So everybody check her out because she's awesome.
She also has an Etsy page.
I do not.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That would be really cool.
Do you
sell Fae?
No.
What?
She makes hand-engraved notepads, like sticky notepads, that say Stenolite Esquire.
I thought she made, what is it, pencils or something?
Oh, she does make pencils too, but they go with the note.
Pencil pack. Maker?
Yeah, but those also say Stenolite Esquire. At the
oh, God.
They don't. Do they say Stenolite Esquire or do they say Morgan Fabenhagen Dachauer?
God, no.
Just checking.
That's only the last sheet. She personalizes with her famous quotes. And what is that famous quote, Stina?
Oh, my gosh.
There it is.
Hilarious.
Right there. She signs,
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
on that note, thank you for listening to the Skippy and Fanti Show.
Yay!
Yay!
Happy 2013,
everybody!
Bye!
If you would like to send us hate mail on this episode or any other topics we've covered, you can do so in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
SkiffyandFanti@gmail.com.
You can send us a tweet.
@SkiffyandFanti.
Leave a comment on the blog.
SkiffyandFanti.com.
Go to Google Plus.
Shawnee Jen.
And or Facebook.
The Skiffy and Fanti Show. Our intro music comes from Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
Just another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.